We'll be now discussing the third chapter, that is the law pertaining to hospitals. In that, most important, that is the Transplantation of Human Organs Act 1994. I think this is a very important act. You need to understand this because a lot of cases of, you know, organs being transplanted, being sold, and, you know, a lot of unethical things being done. These laws have been not followed or have been violated. So one needs to understand this act in details completely. So it has been found that human organs, say for example kidney, heart, liver, etc., can be transplanted without much difficulty, and this sort of transplantation was done to save the life for those in critical conditions. However, this was again misused. And the transplantation racket is now estimated to around 40 crores a year, though I feel this figure is very low, but recent ones are much higher. The Transplantation of Human Organs Act came into existence in 1994. So a lot of human organs, they can be easily transplanted. And when it is done for the beneficial of mankind, say for example, a person is donating his eyes, okay, that's a good thing, or donating kidney to somebody, it's definitely a good thing. But again, the other side of it is it was misused to a big extent, and hence this act came into existence. The aim of this act is to enact to provide for the regulation of how these organs are removed, how they are stored, how they are transplanted for therapeutic purposes, and for the prevention of commercial dealings in human organs and for matters connected with them. So let us understand first of all what is a donor. A donor is any person above the age of 18 years who voluntarily authorizes the removal of his organs for therapeutic purposes only. Okay, so that's a donor. Hospital includes a nursing home or a clinic, a medical center or institution functioning for therapeutic purposes. And a human organ is any part of the human body, as we said, for example, eyes, kidney, liver, heart, consisting of structural arrangement of tissues, which if fully removed cannot be replicated by the body itself. Now, who's a near relative? Near relative means a spouse, son, daughter, father, mother, brother, sister. Nobody beyond this is to be called as near relative. And what's a recipient? Recipient is basically a person to whom the organ is proposed to be transplanted. Who's the registered medical practitioner? Under this act is Medical Council Act of 1956, means basically an allopath, an MBBS doctor. Therapeutic purpose is systematic treatment of any disease, and it measures to improve the health according to any particular method or modality. What is transplantation? It is the grafting of the human organ from one living or dead person to some other living person for therapeutic purpose. For example, a person has already expired, and immediately his eyes can be donated to a person who is in need of eyes. So that is called a transplantation. Similarly for kidney. Now, there are certain categories under which a donor should fall into. The Act clearly places donor into various categories. First is the live donor authorizing removal before death and applies to organs which are bilateral and can be spared. The second is the person who makes a will in writing donating organs to be removed after death. So, first category is basically the person who is alive and authorizing removal of the organs before death and to organs which are basically bilateral and can be spared. Right. The second is the person who is making a will that after he dies, the organs can be removed and can be donated. The third category is are persons who are in lawful possession of the body and are absolutely certain that the dead person never had any objection to removal of the parts of his body and therefore consent to organ removal. So this is the third category of people, you know, basically who are in possession of the body, and according to them, the person never has any objection, so it can be removed. According to the Act, the organs can be removed only by a registered medical practitioner and nobody else. This is very important. How they are removed is very important. How they are stored is very important. How they are transported is very important. And finally, how they are transplanted. experts doing transplantation must have the postgraduate qualification with at least 3 years experience after MS. So after MBBS, the MS, and post that 3 years experience, these are the people who can do transplantation. Before removal of organ in case of death, it must be confirmed by a board of medical experts approved by the appropriate authorities. So before the person is once the person dies and before you are about to remove an organ, it has to be approved by the appropriate authority. And who are these people? They are basically the registered medical practitioners in charge of the hospital where the death has occurred. So the team of doctors who work for a particular hospital are independent specialist nominated by him, or a person who has been nominated by the person. A person certifying death should not be a member of the transplant team. So this is very important. That is, a person who's certifying the death should not be a member of the transplant team. A neurosurgeon or a neurologist also nominated by the hospital in charge. So these are the people who can do it. Live donation. As far as live donors are concerned, he can donate his organ only to a near relative. So generally we see, you know, the in case of relatives, it's generally the person, it's a live donor can would do that only to a near relative. Every hospital offering transplant services must be registered with the appropriate authority over and above the registration of the hospital. So any hospital which just has a registration number cannot do a transplantation. They have to have be registered with the appropriate authority. They should have the required infrastructure, the storage facilities, then only they can offer these services. The transplant must be performed for therapeutic purpose and not other purpose such as experiments or research. So as we said, you know, there is a thin line between the advantages and the disadvantages. So generally the transplantation has to be performed only for therapeutic purpose and not for experiments or research, because otherwise then a whole lot of people who want to misuse this would come into picture. Except for eyes and ears, which can be removed at any place, other organs for transplantation have to be removed at the registered hospital. Informed consent of donor and recipient is required for carrying out transplantation. So informed consent is a must, as we have discussed. And eyes and ears are the organs which can be removed at any other place, but for any other organs, you know, where the storage facilities and all matter a lot, they have to be removed at the registered hospital. Now let us come to the functions of the appropriate authority. The functions of this authority approved by the government are: first, to register or renew registrations of hospitals. Besides registering, to suspend or cancel the registration when required, to enforce the standards laid down under the Act, and to investigate the complaints of Act violation. So registration, cancellation, and to enforce the standards which are laid down by the Act. So just because the hospital has got the registration and there it is not following to the standards, in that case, if they have to enforce the standards, if it is still not confining with the standards, then the registration has to be suspended or cancelled. And to investigate any complaints if they are receiving of the Act violation. Members are also expected to periodically to inspect the registered hospital. So periodic and surprise visits are must. Registration for carrying out transplant is valid for 5 years and it has to be renewed every 5 years by paying the prescribed fees. What are their powers? It can issue show cause notice on receiving a complaint or move suo motu when things come to living without waiting to the approached, right? So in case they are receiving complaints, they have the full authority to give notices so that you know, the registration of such hospitals is cancelled. It can suspend or cancel hospital registration, also recommend to the medical council to suspend the registration of any other doctor found guilty under this Act. So if a doctor is not performing or the institution is not performing as per the standards which are specified, then it can also cancel the hospital registration and tell the medical council to suspend the registration of the doctor. It can also impose a penalty for a doctor with imprisonment up to 5 years, which can be with or without fine or up to ₹10,000. It can suspend medical council registration for 2 years for the first offence and permanently thereafter. So suppose if the same doctor repeats that offence, then his registration can be cancelled permanently. And for the first offence, it's for a period of 2 years, then the doctor cannot practice. Commercial dealings in any forms are punishable with a fine of ₹10,000 to ₹20,000 and imprisonment for 7 years. Again, the wish list would be to increase these figures much, much, much higher, so that people who are getting into the trade of this, or who are doing it for commercial gains should think twice before doing all this. You know, the jurisdiction of the act lies within the magistrate's court, metropolitan or judicial magistrates of its first class. Now, prenatal diagnostic techniques act 1994. The Prenatal Diagnostic Techniques Amendment Act 2002, that is 14 February 2003, now stands renamed as the Preconception and Prenatal Diagnostic Techniques Act. The Act provides for the prohibition of sex selection before or after conception. This is a very important act. So, what is the basic need of this act is it provides for prohibition of sex selection before or after conception. So the main function of this act is again to see that the doctors and the diagnostic centers, they don't misuse the facilities, like say for example the ultrasound, to detect whether the fetus is the male or the female and pass that information is to the parents. That is wrong. The main provisions of the PNDT Act are as follows. Section 3, only registered genetic centers, laboratories or clinics can carry out. Very, very important. It cannot be done randomly by anybody. Only centers which are registered can do this. Only medical persons who possess the medical qualification prescribed in the act can conduct the test, that is a sonologist, only in the place registered under this act. So these three things have to be followed. No person shall sell any ultrasound machine or scanner or any other equipment capable of detecting sex of the fetus to any counseling center, laboratory or person not registered under this act. So a company salesperson cannot go and sell the ultrasound machines to any doctor or any clinic who are not registered under this act, so that you know the misuse of this is prevented to a large extent. Now, Section 4, Clause 3, prenatal diagnostic techniques shall be used or conducted unless the person qualified to do so is satisfied in one or more of the following conditions. Most important, when the age of the pregnant woman is above 35 years, yes, in such cases it is very important to use the techniques to conduct the sonographies. The pregnant woman has undergone two or more spontaneous abortion of fetal loss. Again, it is very important. The pregnant woman has been exposed to drugs, radiation, chemicals or infection, and the pregnant woman or her spouse has a family history of mental retardation or physical deformities. So unless and until there are specific indications, these techniques should not be done, or unless it is on the recommendation of the family doctor or the gynecologist, where there is a certain criteria, okay, yes, this is required, then it is to be done. No person, including a relative or husband of the pregnant woman, shall seek to encourage the conduct of prenatal diagnostic techniques on her, except for the purpose classified in clause 2. So in section 5, the person carrying out the PNDT has to obtain the informed consent of the woman in the prescribed form in the language that she best understands. This is very important. So if a person does not, you are giving a consent form and just telling the person to sign it, but if the person does not understand the consent form, it is written in English, it is always better to explain it in the language that the patient best comprehends, you know. So suppose the patient understands Hindi, please explain it to her in Hindi, or make the consent in multiple languages so that the person can read it and then sign it. No person, including the person conducting PNDT, shall communicate to the pregnant woman or her relatives or any other person of the sex of the fetus by words, signs or in any other manner. This is as per clause 2 of section 5. So the sonologist or the doctor, whoever is present, and they should not communicate about the sex of the fetus to the family members of the patient. What does section 6 say? No person shall, by whatever means, causes or allow to be caused selection of sex before or after conception. This is again very important. This should be completely discouraged. Section 16, function of the state board. So what are the function of the state board is to advise the central government on policy matters relating to the use of PNDT techniques, sex selection techniques, and against their misuse, to review and monitor implementation of the act and rules made thereunder, and to recommend to the central government changes in the said act and rules, to create public awareness against the practice of preconception, sex selection and prenatal determination of sex of fetus leading to female feticide. So recently we have been seeing a lot of media campaigns in favor of the girl child, which is a very positive move, you know. And even lot of diagnostic centers, lot of clinics where it's clearly mentioned, you know, sex determination is banned over here. So it gives a very clear-cut message to the patients who are walking in, to the public at large, to the general public at large. We discourage this, and we don't expect you also to ask us about all such things. To lay down code of conduct to be observed by persons working at the generic counseling centers, genetic laboratories and genetic clinics. To oversee the performance of various body constituted under this act and to take appropriate steps to ensure its effective implementation. So even the people who are working at such generic counseling centers, code of conduct is to be observed, what information should not be given to the patient or to their relatives, all those things have to be laid down in place. And appropriate steps should be ensured so that all the rules are effectively implemented. Now, section 16A, which deals with functions of the state supervising board. Basically, most important to create public awareness against the practice of preconception, sex selection and prenatal determination of sex of the fetus leading to female feticide in the state. To review the activities of the appropriate authorities functioning in the state and recommend appropriate action on violation of the act. So, as we have previously discussed, detection of the sex of the fetus should be completely discouraged in the state, and a lot of awareness has to be created for this, because still there are corners of the country where, you know, these things are done, and because people are still with that old mentality. But unless and until people are educated, people are made aware, these things cannot be eliminated. So public awareness is very important, and it has to be reviewed also that the activities of the state and whatever appropriate action is to be taken against people who are violating these rules has to be done. To monitor implementation of provisions of the act and rules and make suitable recommendations relating thereto to the board, and to send such consolidated reports as may be prescribed in respect of various activities undertaken in the state under the act to the board and to the central government. So proper reports have to be sent to the state board, whatever recommendations are to be given, whatever changes need to be done, all those things have to be made as a proper report and sent to the board, so that, you know, time and again whatever amendments, improvisation has to be made can be done. Let's come to section 17A. Members of the appropriate authority, an officer of the above of or above the rank of the joint director of health and family welfare, chairperson is the chairperson, an eminent woman representing woman organization, and an officer of law department of the state of the union territory concerned. So these people are all basically the members for this authority. Now, what is the function of this authority? Is to grant registration or cancel registration. Very important. Granting registration, cancelling registration wherever required, to take appropriate legal action against the use of any sex selection technique by any person at any place, suo motu or brought to its notice, and also to initiate independent investigation in such matter. So it is very important that action is taken, you know, because if no action is taken, then people will misuse this test, and it will be done rampantly as we had seen it before, you know. So now, since the authorities have become very, very strict, a lot of improvements have been seen in the last 5 to 10 odd years, where even patients are now knowing what to ask, what not to ask. So more and more awareness has to be created. Good centers, inspect those centers, wherever things are not proper, cancel the registration of such centers, and to take appropriate action against people who are misusing this. As we have said, to create public awareness against the practice of sex selection or prenatal determination of sex, to supervise the implementation of provisions of the acts and the rules, to recommend to the central board and state boards modifications required in the rules in accordance with changes in technology and social conditions. This is very important. Recommendations have to be made in accordance with the changes in technology also and social conditions. To take action on the recommendation of the advisory committee made after investigation or complaint, for suspension or cancellation of registration. So whatever complaints they receive, you have to take action against that, and subsequent recommendations to the advisory committee for whatever complaints they receive. Power of the appropriate authority. Summoning of any person who is in possession of any information relating to violation of the provision of this act, of the rules made thereunder. Production of any documents or materials or any object relating to clause A. Issuing a search warrant for any place suspected to be indulging in sex selection techniques or prenatal sex determination, and any other matter which is prescribed. So all these are the powers of the authority. Let's come to section 18 now. So no person shall open any genetic counseling center, laboratory or clinic having ultrasound or scanner or render services to any of them unless such center, laboratory or clinic is duly registered under this act. So without a license, nobody can open this kind of centers. What is section 20? No person, organization, genetic counseling center, laboratory or clinic having ultrasound machine, scanner capable of undertaking determination of sex of fetus and issue public and should publish any advertisement in any form regarding facilities of prenatal sex determination of sex or sex selection before conception available at such center. No form of any advertising has to be done for all these things. This is strictly not allowed. Any person who contravenes the provision of this section shall be punishable with imprisonment for a term which may extend to 3 years and with a fine which may extend of up to ₹10,000. Now, section 23, if the charges are framed against the medical practitioner, his or her registration in the medical council will be suspended till the case is disposed of, and on conviction his or her name will be removed for a period of 5 years for the first offence and permanently for the subsequent offence. This is very, very important. So if a doctor is found guilty of doing things, you know, of prenatal sex determination, then till the case is going on, his registration will be, he would not be allowed to practice, and his name will be removed for a period of 5 years for the first offense, and if he repeats that mistake again, then permanently. Any person who seeks the help of genetic counseling center, clinic, laboratory for sex selection, then in that case he or she shall be punishable with imprisonment for a term which may extend up to 3 years and with a fine which may extend up to 50,000 for the first offence, and for subsequent offences imprisonment which may extend to 5 years and with a fine which may extend up to ₹1 lakh. So patients should also be completely discouraged, and the best way is to create that public awareness. As I said, you know, when they visit and when they see this particular center, these things are not allowed. Even they will think 10 times before asking such things, right? And you have to make it very clear this is a punishable offense. So these are the things which can be done, and I have seen them succeeding to a good extent in the recent years. Now we come to the Bombay Nursing Homes Registration Act 1949. This is an act basically to provide for registration and inspection of nursing homes in the province of Bombay and certain purpose connected therewith. This act may be called the Bombay Nursing Homes Registration Act, which was of the year 1949. This section extends to the whole province of Bombay. No person shall carry on nursing home unless he has been duly registered in respect of such nursing home and the registration is in respect thereof has not been cancelled under section 7. So this is basically for nursing homes. And you cannot start a nursing home unless the registration is done with the appropriate authorities. Every person intended to carry on a nursing home shall make every year an application for registration or renewal of the registration to the local supervising authority. So it is just like a shop and establishment license. I would not say exactly that, but it has to be renewed every year, correct? Every application for the registration or renewal for registration shall be made on such date and in such form shall be accompanied by such fee as may be prescribed. So there is a fee for every new registration and for renewals which has to be paid. A certificate of registration issued under this section shall subject to the provision of section 7 be in force and shall be valid until 31st day of March next following the date on which such certificate was issued. So it is generally on new financial years. The validity of such certificates. The certificates of registration issued in respect of the nursing home shall be kept affixed in the the place in the nursing home. So it has to be in a visible place where a person can see that certificate. Without a valid registration certificate, nursing homes cannot run. Whoever contravenes the provision of section 3 shall on conviction be punished with a fine which may extend to 500 rupees, or in the case of a second or subsequent offense, with imprisonment for a term which may extend up to 3 months, or with a fine which may extend to 500 rupees, or with both. Now, certain bylaws to this, record of patients received or children born in the nursing home. The keeper of the nursing home shall keep and maintain in the form appended to these bylaws a register of the patient received into the nursing home. So whatever the patients are coming in the nursing home, a record of all those patients has to be maintained. A correct alphabetical index of the names of the patients admitted to the nursing homes has to be maintained. A daily record health of every patient who may be suffering from acute illnesses has to be there. A daily record of the health of every woman admitted to the nursing home. Home for delivery and every child born to such a woman in nursing home, and a daily and a weekly record of the health of other patients. So all these things have to be duly maintained in the nursing home, right? The keeper of the nursing home shall keep and maintain a register, special form of maternal and infant deaths occurring in the nursing home, and submit monthly returns there to the executive health officer. So whichever deaths are the maternal and infant deaths that are occurring in the nursing home have to be submitted on a monthly basis to the executive health officer. When the registrar referred in subclause 1 relates to a woman who has been admitted for delivery and where a child born to such a woman is removed with the consent of the keeper of the nursing home and of the parents or mother to the care of the person other than the father, guardian or relative, the keeper of such nursing home, it is his duty, in addition to the particular specified in clause 1, also specified the name and address of such person and the date on which the consideration for which the child was so removed. This is very important. Notice of death occurring in a nursing home. If any death occurs in a nursing home, the keeper of the nursing home shall within 24 hours from the occurrence of the death give in writing the notice of such death to the executive health officer of the corporation or the registrars of births and deaths of the district appointed under section 442 of the Municipal Act within whose jurisdiction the nursing home is situated. So wherever the nursing home is situated, the concerned authorities have to be informed, and that too within 24 hours in writing. The notice may be sent by prepaid post or in any other effective manner, but the important point is it has to be sent and it has to reach them. The notice shall contain the particulars required to be entered in a register sheet under section 441 of the Municipal Act. Within 24 hours of the conclusion of the inquest, if any held on the death of any patient admitted into the nursing home, the keeper of such a nursing home shall forward a report to the executive health officer of the corporation or the registrar of births and deaths for district concern containing the following details, namely, first is the date of inquest, cause of death as was found by the authority by which the inquest was held, penalty, any person who contravenes the provisions of any of these bylaws shall on conviction be punished, that goes without saying, with fine which may extend to 50 rupees or with fine which may extend to 50 rupees, and in the case of a continuing contravention with an additional fine which may extend to 15 rupees for every day during which such contravention after conviction for the first contravention, or with fine which may extend to 15 rupees for every day during which this continues after the receipt of the notice from the corporation by the person contravening the bylaws requiring such person to discontinue such contravention. Let us now discuss a very important point, biomedical waste, that is Management and Handling Rules 1998. This is again a very important topic and has gained a lot of importance in recent times, because initially, you know, there was no proper rules as far as waste handling was concerned, but thanks to this, things have now become much better. Under the powers confined by Section 6, 8 and 25 of the Environment Protection Act 1986, the central government has made the biomedical waste, that is Management and Handling Rules, to safeguard the public health care workers from the risk arising to the biomedical waste. So, you know, typically in a hospital, there is a lot of waste that is generated. This can be blood, syringes, needles, gauze, cottons, which might be infected. So, you just cannot throw it in a bin because they can potentially lead to a lot of infection. So, handling of that waste has to be done in a very proper manner. So, now if you see, hospitals are given different color bags for disposing of different waste. And this in turn is handled in the proper prescribed way by the biomedical waste department. What are the important provisions of this? So, the rules cast obligations on every occupier of an institution generating biomedical waste, which includes a hospital, nursing home, clinic, even a dispensary, veterinary institution, and an animal house, pathological laboratory, blood bank, by whatever name called, to take all steps to ensure that such waste is handled without any adverse effect to human health and environment. So, even if it's a small clinic or a big hospital or a blood bank, pathological center or an animal house, you know, the waste has to be handled in a very specified manner so that it does not cause any ill effect, any harmful effects to the human health and the environment. The rule also lays down the standards for treatment and disposal of biomedical waste. The occupier is also required to set up the requisite biomedical waste treatment facilities like incinerator, autoclave, microwave system for the treatment of waste, or ensure that the requisite treatment of waste at a common waste treatment facility or other waste treatment facilities. So, the occupier is also required to set up whatever the requisite biomedical waste treatment facilities like incinerator is there, autoclave is there, etc. for the treatment of the waste, or ensure that the requisite treatment of waste is done at a proper treatment facility. Every authorized person shall maintain records related to generation, collection, reception, storage, transportation, treatment, disposal, or any other form of handling of biomedical waste in accordance with these rules and guidelines issued. And all records shall be subjected to inspection and verification by the prescribed authority at any time. So this again, records have to be maintained for the collection, received, storage, transportation. This all has to be done in a very systematic manner. And not only the records have to be maintained, they have to be inspected also, you know, and verified by the prescribed authority. I would still go a step further, surprise checks to be done, you know, by these authorities, so that no form of waste which can cause any harmful effects to the human health and to the environment is not attended to.